If you have a Bible or you don't have a Bible, you know what? Just listen to what I'm about to read. I'm about to read something to us from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is one of the epistles, right, that's written to the church in Ephesus, all right? In Ephesians chapter 5, let me read to us Ephesians and chapter 5, all right? I'll grab my Bible. Let me just go there, and you can turn with us. It's a Bible study, but it's interactive. Ephesians chapter 5, all right? If you go right down to the bottom and you look for verse 31, okay? Let's just jump down to verse 31. We'll come back to that verse 22, all right? In verse 31, the Bible says, for this cause, all right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, for this cause or this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then if you read the next verse, he calls it a great mystery. This is a great mystery. It says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You know what? The greatest parallel, the greatest example, the greatest experience compared to Christ and his church is the experience between a husband and a wife, that mystery. So if we read that verse 31 again, he says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, the two become one flesh. It's my great honor, delight tonight, because we're going to be hearing the reason why a man, this man left his father and mother and joined his wife, and the two are coming on this live feed on the Bible study tonight as one flesh. People, please welcome with us all the way from the city of Leicester, United Kingdom. We're downloading them into our virtual studio and online. Please welcome with me Irene and Ohio, the Omeonus, who will be talking, discussing, studying, and then revealing a lot of things to us tonight. We're going to learn that mystery, why Ohio, who I believe is to the right of your screen, left his father and mother and decided to go and join Irene, who is to the left of your screen, if you're watching, looking at them. Welcome, sir and ma. Good to see you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Good evening, sir. Good evening, everyone.
Wow, please, all over the place, can I see those emojis flying? Let me go on my Facebook and see who's acknowledging Irene and Ohio. Right, let's go. I'm going on my Facebook now. I'm excited to see the two of you. You know why I'm excited to see the two of you? Because there's going to be a lot of revelation tonight. I told them unscripted. I'm bringing them on this Bible study. And we're going to together be talking about my first love. All right. Thank you, Esther Franklin, firstborn. Thank you for welcoming Irene and Ohio. Yes, I can see Ferrari Victor. Thank you, everybody. Please just make them welcome. What about on the YouTube live feed? Who's there? Who's welcoming Ohio? All right. Thank you, Sarah. The Sarah Ari. Okay, everybody. Maz Mario. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Wow. Good to see you both.
Good to see you.
You know what? We have been looking at the topic, my first love. People, we are going to ask this couple questions tonight. It's going to be unscripted. You know, I told them just be ready to be exposed. Thank you, Adinka, for welcoming Irene and Ohio. Please, you're joining from anywhere. Let's know where you're joining from. It will be good to see you. And maybe some of the brethren from Leicester, where you are based, will sneak into the and watch this. Okay? Yeah. Somebody said, gonna be lit this evening. All right. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much, the two of you. A privilege. I've got a secret, all right? I'm going to expose them. Yesterday was your 9th year wedding anniversary. They stepped into the beginning of their 10th year. 9 years. 9 good years of, you know, what I call love, sentenced to life of love, imprisonment with hard labor. But the labor is a labor of love.
Mm.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for welcoming them. And please, happy wedding anniversary to you. Please, everybody, raise the roof again. Let's celebrate them. Happy, happy wedding anniversary. So thank you. You know what? I'm going to ask you, Irene. The first thing I'm going to ask you to do is to, can you just pray? Let's pray together. I know we prayed in the background, but let's pray again. People are wishing you happy wedding anniversary, celebrating all over the place. Yes, glory be to God. Thank you, everybody, for the honor you're giving to this couple. So, Irene, can we hear your voice on earth and also in heaven? Let heaven hear your voice.
Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to be in your presence as brethren, to gather, Lord, and to learn at your feet. We just pray that your spirit will guide our conversation and that, Lord, what you prepared for your people is what will happen tonight, Lord Jesus, that we won't speak of ourselves. Please help us to speak from your spirit. Let us speak from a place of truth and love in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love that. I love that we are speaking from a place of truth and a place of love. And the topic again, people, my first love. My first love. Now, our theme, Irene and Ohio, as you know, we've been looking at the book of Revelation, okay? The book of Revelation, chapter 2. And in this book of Revelation, chapter 2, there is a letter, right, written to the angel of the church of Ephesus. The angel of the church of Ephesus, okay? This is very interesting. And he addresses the letter in verse 1. It says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. Okay? This thing says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. Now, let's take this slowly. It now says, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my namesake and have not become weary. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You see, one version puts it this way. You have left the way your love was at the beginning. You have forgotten the way your love was at the beginning. And this version says, you've left your first love. And it now advises, or counsels or instructs in verse 5. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly, remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Verse 6, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And verse 7, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, when we look at this writing, and we look at the attributes, we look at the things that this church, and people, when we, of course, like we know, when we talk about church, we're not talking about a building, bricks, mortar. We're talking about a people. We're talking about human beings. We're talking about you and I. We are the ones who make up what's known as the church, the bride of Christ. So with Christ, Jesus, as the head, like the husband, and we the people, like the bride. Now, it says, you're doing this, you're doing that. He enumerates everything. But he said, there's one thing missing. You've forgotten the way you loved, the way the love was at the beginning. He now says, you've got to return to it. Now, thank God for that mystery we read, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Husband, love your wives, or wives, submit to your husbands, and husband, love your wives. And then when we read all the things, we now get down to that verse, is it 31, where he now says, a man, for this reason, a man leaves his father and mother, will join his wife, the two become one flesh. But then verse 32 compares it. This is the mystery. This is Christ and the church. So the mystery of husband and wife is actually, if we can understand the way Christ, Jesus, relates, loves, and everything is to his bride, which is the church, which is us, human beings. If we can understand that mystery, that's the mystery of marriage, then we will be able to understand and enjoy the mystery of marriage. So that is the scripture. Now we are moving deep, okay? By the grace of God, I've had the privilege to know the two of you from first, when it all started. So I am throwing the first question to the man. And please, people, hashtag J-E-S-U-S Slido, ask this couple questions, okay? Ask them questions. By the grace of God, let me say this. Like I said, I have had the privilege to know the two of you from the beginning, which is over 9 years ago. 9 years was when you married. I believe you were together. Maybe you're going to tell us that. Don't worry, Ohio, if you don't know the figures, I'm sure Irene will give us dates fine.
I know the numbers.
So let me throw to Irene first. How long did the two of you know each other before you got married, whether casually or, you know, that you knew each other? Can you, okay, let me take you down memory lane. All right, Irene, can you remember the first time you saw Ohio?
No,
you can't. No, remember don't. But can you recall when you started noticing him?
Yes, because that was university in Nigeria. So his sister was very nice to me, and she basically used to give me books. I think she was a year ahead of me.
Okay, you were in the university.
Yes. I'm studying law. His sister studying law.
Okay. And then who was studying law too?
His younger sister was also studying law, and she just sort of, I don't know, she took a liking to me for some reason.
Okay, so you knew the sister?
Yeah, so I knew his sister, Juliet.
In university, all right? And were you in the same year in the university?
No, she was a year above me, and so she used to give me his books.
He used to give you
for some her reason, brother's book? Yes, do you have this textbook? Do you have that textbook? And I'd say no. And she'd give me the textbooks, which was really strange because then obviously it was a used textbook then, but then it saved me having to buy any textbooks. And so I'd open up the textbooks and see, because his name is really long, Ohio Chioya. So I remember, you know, laughing with my friends, like, look at this name. His name is so long. So when we got married and then he found out I knew how to spell his name. I was like,
don't jump to the marriage. Let's go on the journey.
Well, yeah, that's the first time I met him was through a text.
That's right. You met the strange name in a strange book, in a used textbook. Okay. Mm-hmm. I want us to journey. Okay. And then, you know, your first, recollecting your reaction was, wow, look at this long, funny name. And you are not, at that time, when you were a student, his sister was a year above you in the law, your law course in Guinea.
Yeah.
And when she gave you the book, did you know him?
I didn't know him at that time at all. I only knew his sister, and I didn't even know her that well. She was just really a friendly person, and she just seemed to like me. So she would just come and just give me. She would, because I had maybe a group of four friends I used to be with, but she wouldn't give them books. She'd just give me books. And it was always his books. Never, because he has an older brother who also studied law. It was never Izeg's books. It was always his books.
Okay. And at this time, the owner of the book apparently he had graduated from...
No.
Okay.
No, he was in uni.
Also in the same university.
Yes.
So we're all in the same department. So I was in my final year when she was in her first year. And my sister was 1 year ahead of her. So my sister was in second year. I was in final year. And she was in first year.
Okay. Were you privy by any chance to these books going to this innocent young lady?
I didn't even know that my sister knew her. Yeah, and I didn't know my sister was giving her the book. So,
you had no clue.
She doesn't even remember doing it. My sister doesn't even remember doing it.
We've asked her before. She doesn't remember.
Okay. Your sister can't remember giving.
Yes. Passing the destiny helper.
Okay. So, all right. And then you left university.
Yeah.
Apparently, you left university. And I can recall that. Did you go back to the same university now to be a lecturer?
Yes. Oh, yeah. But in that, I had seen her. So in that, when I was in final year and she was in her first year, I had actually seen her from a distance. So I'd seen her. So
a lot of revelation coming up tonight.
Yes.
Okay, you had seen her when you were in your final year. You saw this... first year student.
Yeah.
Okay. You just saw her casually. No.
I thought she was beautiful. So it was based on, oh, wow. You know, the new entrance into the department. Oh, and so I noticed that she's particularly very pretty. So that was the basis of my identifying her on the fact
that you noticed that one of the new, students in first year is actually pretty.
Yes.
Okay. All right. But then,
I didn't know my sister knew her.
We never really spoke until.
Yeah, we didn't.
He was there until he probably came back to lecture at the uni.
Okay.
And I probably was in my final year, and then I was writing my dissertation. And then I think that's the first time we really started to speak.
Yeah, that was the first time we spoke. Yeah,
Juliet's brother, and that's what it was. But he was always very helpful. That's something I can say about him. Because
when you were a student and he became a lecturer, right? He was not helpful to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think he came into some restaurant where my friends and I were eating and we were discussing my dissertation. And then he just kind of butted into the conversation and said, oh, why don't I think I'll, or is it something about...
I suggested topics.
Yeah, topics for my dissertation. And I ended up taking the topic he said.
Which okay, meant you guys are too fast. You are too fast. I know it's 9 years, but you are too fast. Slow down. Let's take it slowly, all right? We're talking about people, my first love. Mm. And, you know, as this discussion is going on, you have questions, please, all right? Please start throwing the questions on Slido.do, all right? And comments, we will take the, we will be discussing. You ask questions, we throw the questions to them. My first love, the mystery of Christ and the church is the mystery of marriage. All right. So we are just going down memory lane, you know, because the Bible says, remember your first love. Okay. So we are remembering. We want to go down where the spark and how the spark sparked. Okay. What sparked somebody's head? Okay. So, book, funny name, sister. And then he comes back, lecturer, you are just with your friends. He noticed you when you came into the first year and he was in the final year. And usually in uni, in those days, I remember, I don't know even if it's now, the older usually would notice the new innocent souls that their parents sent them to come and study. And the older ones, I kind of have other motives. When you notice, sir, did anything cross your mind initially at that stage?
When I was a student?
Yes, when you were in final year and this innocent young lady started. You just noticed she was pretty, okay?
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, so it was a case of at that point in time, I thought that I'm amongst all the girls that I had seen in that said comment. So I thought that she was actually one of the prettiest. So it
she
was
stood out.
She stood out. That's the word.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So but then, that was it.
Okay. That was it then. Okay. Yeah. So when you now came back as a lecturer, you now saw these students discussing serious academic stuff. In the cafeteria. Or where did you say you were?
Yeah, the cafeteria.
Can I ask you, what were you looking for in the cafeteria that day?
Interesting, because so when I came back, her set were they were the only trace of any kind of they were the only ones who knew me, in the sense that at the time I was coming back and they were just about to graduate. So every set after her set, I didn't know any of them. So some of them remembered me because I played football with some of the boys. And so I knew most of them like facially. So it was a very new like era in the time of the university, because it was the first time they were employing young lecturers. And so I felt very out of place. So the cafeteria that was in the faculty, I used to avoid it so as not to run into students. And so I went to another cafeteria in another faculty, hoping that, you know, there'll be no one that knew me there. But lo and behold, her and her friends apparently used to eat there. So I ran into them. I actually wanted to run away when I saw them that day, but I was like, it looks, I would look funny. So I just still got in and, you know, decided to order my food and eat there. And so I couldn't help but overhear them like
discussing
about topics about, you know, for dissertation.
Okay.
I don't know what pushed me to.
You don't know what pushed you, but among all our friends that day, somebody threw a comment there that Irene is still standing out till today. So she stood out, I'm sure. And then I put it to you. You're a lawyer, and I've had lawyers when they're in court and they're dealing with maybe either the offender or the, how do you call it now, the plaintiff or the defender. The plaintiff or the accused.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know where you stand today, but I put it to you, sir. the way you lawyers used to talk, I put it to you that you went to that cafeteria that day because of a pretty girl.
I was running away. It was accidental. I was because the cafeteria in the
Irene, you are not his lawyer. You are not his advocate. You are not his solicitor. So don't defend him now. Let him defend himself. Okay, sir. Go on.
I was running away from because there was a lot of attention on the new lecturers. Mm-hmm. Because we were younger and
he had a lot of girls around him. That's what he's trying to say.
So I was running away from where I thought I might run into people. So it was never intentional. So that was supposed to be a safe spot for me. But so it was coincidental or
okay, we will take your submission as admissible in this court. This court of love, not court of law. All right. Okay. So your journey. You left Nigeria. Okay. You left your home country. And then you came apparently to do your master's. Okay. And lovely. They, by the grace of God, Irene and Ohio have two lovely children. Yes. Any one of them around there, just they can show their face.
No, they just came to ask for.
They are wondering what's happening.
No, we threatened them severely that if they made noise, they'd be in trouble. So they are just they're taking their bribes.
Okay, all right then. Okay, somebody said, what a convenient coincidence. All right, okay, so you left and then you came to the UK. To further your studies. I mean, okay, you had them talking about their project. Mm. And then you went to eat. You claimed you were running away from people. You ended up in a place, instead of you running away, minding your business, I put it to you that you had ulterior motives by joining that conversation.
I think he did.
Oh, no, definitely.
Yeah, I think he did.
You are admitting.
I didn't admit to going there intentionally. Yeah, that was I wasn't stalking her, you know, no, going there. No. But when I saw her, obviously I was like, oh, wow, that's Irene, the girl who stood out. So
who stood out some years ago?
Years ago. So definitely I did. It was not. An accident. Yeah,
you forgot the reason that you went there to eat.
And I'm sure I didn't eat that food properly. Yeah,
you
didn't eat the food. You forgot the food, and you went for the sister. All right, you noticed, and then you jumped into their conversation because they were not talking to you, sir.
No, we're not talking to you.
So I put it to you that you had ulterior motives.
Mm-hmm.
You admit. Okay. So they were talking about the project. Mm-hmm. And you as a lecturer, who's meant to be protecting students, minding, decided to use your position to your advantage. To butt into their conversation where they were discussing serious academic issues.
Pastor, it's called pastoral care. And I know it's something you're very familiar with, sir. I didn't know what it was called then, but now I know.
The comment
so when know.
Very interesting. Yes. Yeah.
So for anyone who has studied in the United Kingdom, when you're in university, you are given a personal tutor. Who was supposed to provide pastoral care for you. So I didn't know the name then. But...
Very true, but I put it to you, she was not one of your students under your pastoral care.
Yeah, but Pastor, you know, the problem then was, for those who studied in Nigeria, we didn't really have very helpful lecturers. You know, some.
Yeah.
So we were a new breed. And, you know, and in a way...
And let's just call it spirit.
Was she assigned to you your pastoral care.
He did invigilate one of my exams. I remember that very clearly, that he invigilated one of my exams. So he was
useful in the faculty.
Somebody's exposing.
We make a petition. We would like to have Mamura on the screen.
Somebody, I don't know. The same pastor used similar strategies. All right.
Maybe I should just say this. So, I actually now went to visit her once. And when I did.
That's jumping.
No, because he's talking about like me moving over here. Because something actually happened. I actually went to go and visit her once. And when I came out, and I think this is one of the first times I've heard God speak to me.
Wait a minute. You are jumping.
I think that's a huge jump.
You have not left the cafeteria.
First, by eating, and then now.
Don't get spiritual on us here, please.
Okay.
We have not left the cafeteria, okay? So she was talking about a project, and under your pastoral care strategy, you started talking to her. Oh, why don't you do this project? Blah, blah, blah. I put it to you that was strategically so that you could continue a conversation with her after that cafeteria encounter. Yeah.
You are very right, Pastor.
Thank you very much. You need not say anything further. Somebody say we're in the exam hall. Okay. So after that discussion, did you now get to talk to her about her project?
Yeah.
No, I mean, to be fair, he did help me with
the project.
Yeah. So I he was always helping to like read or maybe not read, but maybe like just draft.
I read drafts, yeah.
Yeah, things like that. So he helped me with my project.
Yeah, he was.
And to be, I think, is that when something tragic happened and then?
Oh, yes. So that was when I lost my brother. So.
Yes. Mm. So he was quite aloof in terms of engagement, because I'm just going to be honest, I liked him. So I used to
dress. We are coming to you. We are coming to you. The helpy.
No.
We are still dealing with the pastoral Kiara. You are jumping, Irene. Don't jump. Don't worry. You are not escaping tonight. You are not escaping. Okay, so that's now brought a line of communication. He was now helping the pastoral carer, was helping the pastoral carer, okay, on a project. And then, of course, somehow, okay, let's now move to the person who was being helped, okay? So, sorry about that at that period in time, you lost one of your brothers, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I know how painful that can be, and I know we've discussed about that, the effect it had on you and all that. So, but then a line of communication was now opened. And he was helping you with your project, Irene.
Yes.
And now that the light of God is upon you and your heart, you are now revealing to us that somehow you liked the helper. Mm-hmm. At what point? And what did you like about him then?
And to be fair, I just knew that I thought he was quite handsome. But then that's not really why I liked him. I liked him because every time I met him, he was always really positive. And he's not really changed. He's the sort of person who always wants to help. So for all the other less intelligent humans that were around at that time, his conversation with him was a bit refreshing, because it was always constructive things. It wasn't just foolish things. And he never had that predator kind of attitude where he felt this person wants something that's not quite pure. I don't know if that's what he ever thought about, but then at that point, he never, to be honest.
We will get back to him.
Yeah.
He was always really helpful. And whenever I spoke to him, he was always very friendly, very respectful. So in that sense, I'll say I fancied him. I'll say, oh, I liked him, or I thought I was in love or something. No, but I just always liked to be around him. So, but because of what happened with his brother, every time, even during, like when he was helping me with the project and things like that, he wasn't very open, because you could see that he was really sad or not present. So yes, so that period, I just thought, okay, he's not interested in me in that sense, because he would be helpful, but just never, nothing like, let's go to eat, or let's, nothing like that. He was not trying to engage until the offer of the visit, which I'm probably the one who told him, oh, won't you come and see me and my friends or something, because he was only my friends.
All right. So at some point, while he was helping you with the project, he was being positive, he now decided to exercise his authority as his pastoral care. And
because he lived down the street from me. His family house was down the street. His family house was probably not along, just the adjacent street from where I lived. So we lived very, very close by.
Yeah, but that was his family house. He should go to his family house, not going to visit his parents. Why are you living in his family house extension at that time?
No. What I'm saying is, the reason why it made sense was because he always used to pass by. I was like, oh, you don't know where I live. And so I don't know if he invited himself or I invited him. No, but basically, really? Okay. And then I said, oh, sure, that's fine. You can come visit me. And so he came to visit me one evening, which is actually quite an important part of what happened.
My wife, I can hear my wife laughing seriously in the background. And somebody's trying to raise a worship song, a praise song for us tonight. My helper, there is something that makes me come into your presence.
All the things that repent. We know we're taking names. We will repent. Your time will come.
Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Okay, all right. Let's. My wife can't stop laughing. She's just laughing. the beautiful thing, Irene, is that you are a worship leader. So maybe after this session tonight, you should raise that worship song between the three of you, and the family can have a worship. My helper. There is always something that makes me come.
Grateful, but not help.
We thank God. Okay, so let me see. Questions? Are questions coming? Oh wow, lots of questions hitting there now. So okay, let's just quickly jump into something here. So that happened, and then I know Ohio came. Left Nigeria.
Can I just talk about that visit?
Oh, you want to talk about the visit?
No, just something that happened.
It was quite significant.
Yeah, because when I came to visit her, I actually felt awkward.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like this is not right in terms of, you know, the positioning thing. So forget what I said about
lecturer, this is a student.
So I felt very weird about it. And so when I came out, I was like, oh, what are you doing? And I remember, I think it's the first time actually, I would say I heard the audible voice of God.
Yeah.
And
did you know at that time it was...
No, because I wasn't a Christian.
Okay.
I wasn't a Christian. So beautiful. I did not know. But all I remember hearing was, if you are not serious with this one, leave her alone.
Wow.
It was like a warning.
God had my back.
If you are not serious with this one, leave her alone.
Because I was not a serious human being at that point in time.
Okay. Thank you very much. So that people can see the context of the journey. So you came to the United Kingdom to do your master's. You lost contact. You were not contacting each other. There was no project to supervise. There was no pastoral care.
Just
responsibility. Okay. And then this is the interesting part. Okay. I remember, because I want us to really tackle the questions people are asking. Okay. Maybe, you know what? Let's look at next Thursday. Okay, if you can check your diary, if we can have you next Thursday again, is question and answer. So I'm throwing it ahead, inviting you back. Okay, next Thursday evening, unless you're on honeymoon, it will be glad. Do people agree with me that we should bring them back so that we can find out more about the visit? Anyway, you came, so we will leave that question. The deep things, because people would like to know your journey. The whole idea is return to your first love. Mm. How the love was at the beginning, how it started. Mm. So we would like to hear that journey. I know you came to the UK, and apparently maybe you lost contact, and then you started doing your PhD. Mm. And I will leave us in suspense. And I remembered at that time, Ohio, you know, at become serious with his life, given his life, received Jesus, and we had the privilege to have him as a member of Love Assembly. And if he doesn't remember, I don't. And he told me one day, oh, he wants to travel, I don't know whether to London, that there is someone who used to be his student, who's just from the UK, and she doesn't know her way. You know, I don't know when he became a guide, a tour guide, but he said she doesn't know her way, and he wants to go and meet her, and blah, 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 blah. I still remember, I will never forget that day he told me he was traveling. Okay, the Lord go with you. And I did ask him, male or female? Let's leave the question hanging there. We will revisit this by the grace of God. We'll have him next week. All right, 9 years. It's been a journey, okay? Yeah. It's been a journey. People are asking, all right? The first question I can see here is, what do you regret? Okay, I don't know if there are comments on the Facebook.
No, but
this is on Slido, anonymous, so which is beautiful. It says, what do you regret in preparation for your wedding? Mm. What do you wish you did or did not do, both spiritual and not spiritual? I don't know if you understand that question. So this question is taking you back now when you were preparing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe we should replace the word wedding with marriage.
Okay.
Because wedding is a ceremony. So I want to believe this person is asking... of course, the ceremony launched you into the marriage. Mm-hmm. So the preparation for the marriage, I guess, if you want to tackle it from that angle, is there anything you wish you did or did not do? Or what are the things that were helpful to you preparing for your wedding? We will talk next week on how we got to that point that both of you came to the conclusion you were meant for each other. So people, don't miss next week. We will drag them back. So, you want to tackle this question?
Yeah. Maybe you go first.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things that we can... That's the whole topic on its own. But in terms of... I have a lot of regrets personally in terms of even just the way we approached first the wedding, in terms of letting financial things and just really frivolous things get in the way and cause a lot of stress. So I think we fought more during the wedding prep than we ever did in our marriage. Like,
say that again, Erin, slowly.
Preparing for the wedding
than we ever did.
Yes, even in marriage. So it was a I don't remember it with pleasure at all. It was a very stressful time. And also it was because we were both students. We didn't have a lot of money as well. So it was just stressful. And I had my own childhood dreams about what my wedding's supposed to be like. He was being the pragmatic. I want to, you know, have other things. Men, I think, are more what we're going to do after the wedding. Women are more about the wedding. But I think we did some things right, which was, at least personally, I'm really blessed that we came to Love Assembly because I had a church in Exeter, which was a fantastic church. But when I finished in Exeter, because I didn't know anybody there, then I started to live with, I think Nkem helped, and I found there's this girl,
Ibn Abo,
that I was living with in Liverpool. So for the 4 months before
you
I went back
home, you relocated to Liverpool, where
September 2012,
Ohio was then.
Yes, because okay, I'd been visiting Love Assembly already. I mean, I think.
We will expose all that.
Okay, yeah, so December. So I already knew about. So I was already embedded in the city, and I think just the lead up to my wedding. I instead of focusing more about, you know, maybe speaking about future things, we're just about now. Okay, why am I going to do this? You know, just frivolous things. And it caused a lot of friction between us because we're very different. Even in marriage, it's still the same. The way we approach things, very, very different. But I think one thing that helped us was like all those, I can't even really say it's marriage counseling because it was more like chats we used to have in your car. So and literally you would pick us up and we would use that commuter, I think was it Joshua School or something.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to go all the time and we used to have those chats sometimes in the office, sometimes in church. So whenever we would catch up, you would talk to us about different things. I still remember submission. Whew. I didn't know I had like anger and submission issues until you raised it. And I remember being very angry in the car, like, why should I be submitting? But it helped me to process a lot of things that I think helped us later on because we never really had those issues again because we had dealt with it before. Hand. What else do I regret? I think I also regret not. We had some fights about family. I used to feel like, no, you're not protecting me. If somebody said something, family issues.
I wouldn't say those are regrets. I'm happy that those things happened because
there were issues that came up that needed. I mean, there were things you had to deal with.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like maybe talking about family members and, okay, this person is like this, so don't take it the wrong way if they did that. So
true.
So unnecessary, like, oh, this person doesn't like me. But no, that's just how she is. You know, things like that. So I think that prep about telling, you need to tell your spouse about your mom and your dad and your sister and your brother so they know what to expect. And when they meet them, they're not offended by little things that they will do thinking it's because of them. No, that's just their character. So we didn't do too much prep in that area. So we had to discover our family members by ourselves. Then yes, you know, financial things that we didn't discuss as well during the wedding. So even when we came back, why on earth did we have to go all the way to Nigeria? Oh, why couldn't we have just done a smaller wedding? I didn't even know anybody at my wedding. Like, there's all so many things that went on. But I'm glad that we had a family, like a church around us, because I can't thank you and Mamura enough for that, honestly. And I don't know if we talk about post-wedding, but even our first fight post-wedding, what we call the Royal Rumble, literally. Look at that divorce in week one.
Week one.
You know, but... And it was because of wedding things. So that's basically right. I wanted to go on honeymoon. He wanted to buy TVs and things like that. And I was like, wow, okay, what kind of cheating is this? So you had promised me we were going to go on a honeymoon. And I literally started calling him names, all sorts of things. We were screaming. He doesn't scream. I was screaming. I was just screaming at the top of my lungs, calling him names and things like that. And then I just saw him retreating very, very, very quickly.
Remember, he's a carer. So
yes. No, but to his credit, his public persona is his private persona. He's not any different. So I just could just see him retreating and he left and I just carried on, you know. So I think he said he went and had a chat with you about, okay, I married a mad woman apparently. And I bought a TV and she's very annoyed that
it's all right.
We're not going to Dubai. So yeah, so basically it was a terrible one. And okay. I just remember Mamura calling me into the, like, I don't know how it was. I think I calmed down or something a little bit. And so he said, you know, you wanted to see us. And I just
that is Mamura. My wife, for the sake of those who don't know, because yeah. We're talking to a wider audience. Yeah, so my wife called you.
Yeah, okay. Like I came to the church and I was Myrtle Parade. And I just remember how maybe she had heard what had happened. And I just remember very sternly, look me in the eyeballs. And she just said, Irene, never ever call your husband names. Never insult your husband. Don't you ever call your husband name under any circumstances. And I was just like, okay. I promise you, that thing was tattooed on my heart. I don't know what it was. And she never yelled at me before. Remember when I got a person, I was just yelling at you for no reason. But she said it with firmness. it wasn't like even the raising of the voice. And after that, I think, I don't know what you said to him as well, to like maybe, but I talked to him, she was like, what is this thing that is making you so angry that you'll be calling him in? And since that day, I don't think we've ever had that kind of fight again, ever. Just based on understanding. And I don't know, I think that thing was like a Holy Spirit transfer from maybe like spiritual mom to, I don't know what it was, but honestly, that was the day it ceased. And I think also being in a church where you could see other people in marriage, and it was very, Love Assembly was a very open place where you could literally talk about real things, you know? And so that support before and after the wedding is something I'm really grateful for. And obviously I have regrets about fights. We could have been enjoying ourselves at that time rather than fighting and bickering. Literally, we argued in the car during the wedding. We argued on the steps while we were taking our pictures. We argued literally till we danced in. So it was... When I was dancing, Mr. and Mrs.
You are not dancing.
Honestly, because the man who drove us was our childhood driver. He'd been with my family for a very long time. I'm sure he thought we were going to divorce. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Because it was so terrible. We're just not... What were we arguing about? No, we're not going back to the hotel to take pictures. No, we're not going to... All sorts of nonsense. So I just feel like if we didn't have maybe a grounding in terms of people we could report, people we're answerable to, people that we feared in terms of respect to report to, we might have had even a worse time that first week of coming back to Liverpool.
I would just say that the wedding and the preparations for the wedding had the moments that when we focused on the spiritual things, it kind of built us or created a foundation that we are still able to look back on and say, we're so glad we had that. But in terms of those physical things, and I think it's back to what Aaron was saying, that the amount of attacks, if I could put it that way, during that period in the preparation for the wedding, was something that I look back and I wish I had been more, I would say less pragmatic, but probably a little bit more, because at the end of the day, that quarrel she talked about, what did you say to me? You said to me, she wants to go on honeymoon. Then go. That was what you said to me. You were like, so go. And I was like, okay. And I thought you were probably going to support me and tell me, yeah, it's wrong. You know, why she, you know, you should be more. You said, does she want to go for the honeymoon? You know, so I do have regrets about not being less, you know, just like, okay. Now, obviously, I was thinking of the finances and that was didn't, but at the end of the day, you know, things worked out and it was not because we had the money at the end of the day. So I think I was too uptight because I was worried about. So yeah, so that's my, I would say, regret for the non-spiritual things.
Yeah. One thing I want to say, you see, to everyone watching, I thank God for Irene and Ohio. You know, I tell them this. They are one of the most real couples I've ever met. They are still as real. And so you see, somebody is appreciating that. Thank you for your being real. I saw a comment now. Love your realness, Irene. You see, the reality is I can tell people listening with the privilege we've had knowing this wonderful couple, very real, down-to-earth, practical human beings. That's one thing I appreciate with the two of you. You made, even though, of course, we went through some mountains, hills, storms together, but your realness, your openness, your being so, sincere, really helped matters. And that's one thing God wants. Not, you know, people pretending. You are one of my case studies. Everyone we've counseled, I will always tell them the story of Irene and Ohio. That if you are looking for real human beings, real couples, real issues, I will recommend you talk to Irene and Ohio. And, you know, I'm proud to say that, proud of both of you. And we celebrate 9 years of your journey. Because the next question is saying that, how have you kept your marriage going for 9 years? What keeps the spark going? And how do you manage your ego and still love her? So I guess that's for Ohio. You know, number one, let me first of all ask, okay? Number one, that, well, the question is, how have you kept your marriage? And the question is, sub-question, what keeps the spark going? Let me ask, is the spark still there?
I mean, it's really strange. And because obviously in my ways, which is part of the reason we used to have issues, I'm always planning a ceremony, always. It's a party or something. So I was telling him when we first got married, maybe like maybe year 4 or year 5, I was like, oh, I'm going to do a renewal of vows. I'm going to do it in Spain. All my dreams. So basically, I was telling him that, oh, when we got to our 10th year, that if I was doing the whole, maybe I had a proper ceremony and we're walking down the aisle again. I don't know why people do that, but it's kind of thing I like. So I'm renewing my vows. But I would be more confident walking down the aisle in that situation than I would have been when we got married in 2013. Because I told him when I was getting married in 2013, I didn't know who I was getting married to. I just liked your side profile. I thought you were cute and you had a nice beard. But I didn't know him. I had no clue who he was. I thought I knew him, but I just realized I wasn't even... One thing I can be sure of that I heard the voice of God, which I can say maybe next week we'll talk about that, but I know I heard God in Love Assembly, actually, in the December 2011 retreat. So I know I heard God clearly, and I heard God so clearly that I said, no, Lord. No, he's not. He's just... This is somebody I just met. That's literally what I was telling God. Like, why would you be telling me this is my husband? We had just started. I came to UK in October. I heard that word in December. So I was not pleased with it because I was not coming to the UK to get married. Like, I was, yay, you know, I'm away from home. It was a new experience for me. I wasn't looking for marriage. So anyways, I didn't know who he was when we got married. Even though I'd known him, I'd known his sister. I'd kind of been around him early on in life, but I didn't really know him. And so I was saying that based on how we've walked for the last, so that would be a decade, I would be more confident to walk down the aisle because I know who he is now. There's definitely still a spark, so you can jump in.
No, I mean, for me,
the 9 years of discovery.
Discovery, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, for that, I would always say this.
Right.
She is still the most beautiful woman, you know, that. So that's standing out. She still stands out in terms of her beauty, but there's so much about Irene that people do not know. And I always say that, you know, the world one day might discover some of the things that, you know, I've come to know in terms of her personality.
Basically, I'm a clown and I make him laugh.
Yeah, she makes me laugh. True. Yeah, so she's a spark herself. So what I'm talking about to keep the spark going. Irene is a wonderful person. So I've not had... it's never been. I was saying to her yesterday, I was like, thank you for not giving me stress, because so for all the things she says about, oh, I'm this, I'm that, no, she has not given me stress in any way. She's actually made my life better. And I always say that aside or after giving my life to Christ, the second decision that I know was pivotal was, you know, marrying Irene. And so definitely the spark is still there. Every day is it's interesting with Irene. And for the second part of the question,
how do you manage your ego?
This is why marriage counseling is very good. And now pastor might not even remember this. During one of the counseling sessions, he just randomly, but now I've over the years I've come to realize that things are not really random with Pastor Fola. So he mentioned the scriptures in Proverbs. I can't remember what it is now, but it says, all men proclaim their faithfulness, but a faithful man who can find.
Proverbs chapter 19. The media team can bring that up.
And so when he said it that day, it felt so random because it was not what we were discussing. And he just said it and left it out there. And I held on to that word. And it has guided me for 9 years. Because I'm not an outwardly proud person. But in nine, oh, sorry, I'm not an outwardly stubborn person. But in 9 years, I've realized that I have this silent stubbornness. It's more
internal
type of. I can be very obstinate about certain things, and Irene is someone who will basically tell you as it is. You would have noticed by now. So she says it as I should tell you. I have to tell you so that you know, so that my mind I can be okay. I will tell you how it is. And so definitely when it came to the issue of, you know, ego, at the beginning of our marriage, anytime there was a friction or a conflict, and I'll be thinking to myself, oh, I'm right, you know, I know I didn't do anything here. And then that scripture will come.
Proverbs 19, verse 6.
That scripture would come. Yes. And that scripture would come. And basically I would hear, I will literally hear the Holy Spirit say to me, go and apologize. And I would come and apologize. And, you know, with from a place of like, okay, I've been the bigger person.
Okay, can I step in here? Because he's being humble, to be fair. So when we first got married, as my mom told you, trying to sabotage my marriage before it started.
No, she...
My mom was already telling him, like, you're taking the craziest child. Don't bring her back. This is a part of her issue. So I didn't know they had this chat, but apparently my mom was like, somebody wants her. Hey, here she is. But here are the things you need to watch out for. Because I was a malicious person. I would literally, if we had a quarrel, I'm the kind of person who would sulk. It sounded like I was malicious, but the truth was, I'm so sensitive that if I'm very upset, I tend to cry. So when I was little, I used to always cry, and it would always be my younger brother I was quarreling with. So I developed this mechanism where instead of lashing out and then weeping as I'm talking, I just wouldn't say anything to you till I was calm enough, which could take 3 to 4 days. So I would not speak to you for 3 to 4 days. And I carried that into marriage. So he would do something to me and I would not talk to him for 1 day, 2 days. And he's not a person who loves peace. I think that's the thing about him. Oyo really loves peace. He doesn't like strife-filled environments. He can't be around you if you're like that. So I can be there stewing, slamming doors. He doesn't have time for that. So I learned through frustration that this does not work on this human that the Lord has given you, because he's a different breed. I wanted somebody who would keep malice with me. Like, let's be doing this.
What's the fire for fire?
You're supposed to be angry. So I'll be doing malicious things like turning off the TV rudely. Not, you know, just there's your food. Take the food. And then he's just there. And the annoying thing is that he will be worshipping. So if he's annoyed, he will be worshipping. So literally, you just be here. And you are fuming, and I'm not praying, I'm not doing my morning devotion, because I know obviously I'm in malice, and he's just having a fantastic time with the Lord. So I mean, he would then come and apologize to me. Holy Spirit will now go, so he has apologized first again. Well done, Irene, you are not progressing in your walk with the Lord. And by the time he had done it over and over and over again, I had that chat with myself where this is not working. So you can either be here as a child or you can follow his lead in what he does. He literally apologizes first. You have to beat him to it till now. In situation, you come and apologize for something he said within the conversation that was clearly my fault. So I'm sorry for what I said.
But it was not easy.
Can I ask Irene, that is your favorite song? First it was Fragrance, then it turned to Fire.
I wish it was. At the time it probably would have been Faster. So I'm looking, he just exposing your worldliness. He made me see how carnal I was, really.
No, but that's what I'm saying, that it wasn't easy. So every time I came to say sorry, it was not because I actually would hear the Holy Spirit say to me, go and say sorry. And I would have this conversation with, but she's the one that, why am I supposed to? Mm-hmm. And then there will be this silence. And then I would lose my peace. And then I would go out. Sometimes you would say sorry. And then she would say something like, what are you sorry for?
Oh, yeah.
And then you're like, You know, I'm,
because I want to know that you know
what you did wrong.
Wow.
But anyway, in that, yeah, it helped to really take away that whole, you know, that ego.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally had to humble yourself.
Yeah.
Swallow your ego.
Swallow.
Even with that unrest. With a very proud wife, he had to do that. So.
Okay, thank God for that. There are quite a number of questions, which gets it interesting, because I want us to stop by in the next 9 minutes. So whichever way we stop today, we're taking it so that we can address everything today. So there's a question here, you know. okay, let me see. Let's okay. Can you put on randomly? Let me trust the media team to come up with any of the questions there. I can see one that says, I don't know the comments on Facebook. On was it God? Okay, can you bring in okay? How did you relate with him in that time when you liked him but he hadn't quite come around yet? How did you relate with him in that time you liked him? Okay, you know what? Let's leave that to next week because I said we're going to talk about the process. Okay, I want to talk about marriage now, the post-marriage, your relationship as husband and wife. Next week, people, I promise we're going to start from the cafeteria to the UK, to Hull, from Hull to Liverpool, Liverpool to Leicester. Okay, all right. So let's look at this one. That says that, okay, has there been a time when it felt like as if the love between the two of you was growing cold? And what did you do to restore the love between the two of you? Because, people, our topic tonight, my first love, return to the love like it was at the beginning. We are celebrating and privileged. Thankful to God for Irene and Ohio. 9 years married last year. So I told them they've stepped into the 10th year. So today's the first day or the second day of the 10th year. they're starting the 10th year of their marriage. So over the years, because, you know, one other thing I want to chip in all sincerity, people, and I'm sure the two of them will mind this, in 9 years, there have been issues that, you know, the openness between the two of them. My wife put a comment before that. You've made mentoring the two of you easy for us because you were very open, very, very open. You know, when you have issues, when you have things, you need to make decisions, you are disagreeing, you run to us. You don't live in Liverpool anymore. By the grace of God, the two of you are ministers in the church in Leicester, where you are, but that relationship, you know, is still there. We value it, you know, we value you. I want you to know that. I mean, there have been times, I still remember, I was awake and I realized Ohio was awake. In the middle of the night, we'll be chatting. Issues, we're dealing with issues. We're, you know, talking and, you know, so that's been very good. So definitely there have been challenges. So there have been times. So let's take this as the last question. We will start from the others next week.
Yeah.
Your love was growing cold. You've talked about the first week that could have ended up in divorce. But in 9 years, I know, you know, God knows that there have been challenges. You know, next week, please remind me, we're going to talk about something the Holy Spirit wants you to talk about, Irene especially. Because you know, it's always good for people to know this. Let me chip this in ahead of time, just to prepare you. You know, there was a time you had a miscarriage.
Yeah,
you had a miscarriage. People may not know. These are some of the challenges people face in marriage. You know, and I thank God for the two of you, 9 years still together. But there were issues. So. Yeah, do you want to talk about this? We end with this question. The two of you, either of you can address that.
Yeah. You know, for men, sometimes I think one thing I kind of recognized was there's a tendency to kind of retreat into this space whereby you are trying, instead of confronting things, you decide to just kind of keep quiet, and then you retreat into a space and you don't realize that you are actually drifting away. And so you are doing everything else, you are present physically in body, mm-hmm. but you don't realize that you are actually drifting away in terms of your heart posture with the person you're married to. And so that actually thing happened to me in 2017, yeah, thereabout. And I just
had... How many years into your marriage then?
So 2017, so that's...
4 years.
4 years into the marriage.
Yeah, 20 okay. like the 50 years, just after our son was born.
Yeah. And it was... Everything else looked okay. Mm-hmm. Everything else looked like it was fine. Still nothing. There was nothing out of place. I just realized that I just had this internal distance, you know, within me. And I actually called you and I said, sir, I feel like I'm drifting away here. I'm scared. You know, I feel like I'm kind of drifting away. I don't know why, but I recognize it, you know, and I don't want to, you know, drift away. And you said to me that it's a good thing to be self-aware from time to time that, you know, is that something changed? And I was like, I can't really point to anything.
Yeah.
And so you advise that it's good to pray about it, but also, you know, find ways to start to change that dynamic. You know, why are you drifting away? And so I spoke to her and said, see what I actually had a period. I said, this is how I was feeling.
Mm.
And so I'm just letting you know. But it's not like there's anything. I don't remember how you took it, but that was the truth. And so
you confronted it. You actually owned up and confronted it, and that helped.
I think something that people don't realize is, especially for singles, they don't realize that for women and for men it's quite different. So for me, I think he loved me more when we got married at the beginning. I would say that he liked me more than I liked him. Mm. I loved him, but in terms of that really effusive, I can die on there, that kind of thing. I went into marriage almost a bit too practically because I knew that God told me to marry him. And I'm the kind of person who would say, didn't I tell you? So even in marriage, I'll tell him, I told you not to do it. And he hates that. But this is like, God, if this doesn't work, I will say, you told me to marry him. I was sure that I heard that I was supposed to marry him. So it was more of a, this is God, what God wants for me. Than even though I liked him, but that was not the primary reason I married him. But I noticed that as we got married, it started to cross. So for him, I won't say he loved me less, but men relax when they finally married the bride. So now it's more, let's look for bread and butter, let's take care of the children. It's more practical. But for women, because then now, at least if you're doing things the proper way, that's when you're now intimate with the person. That's when he's now your husband. So you're looking for more attention. But then like, I'm married, can we carry on with life? You know, so I think for me, I started to love him more when we got married. Because now this is your unit, you're having children. It's a bit more of a deeper emotional experience. So I just believe that for women, the love increases or the need for attention. And that's why God says your desire will be for your husband, but he will rule over you. And so he basically became more himself. To be honest, like, see more of his weaknesses and things.
He went from a carer to a ruler.
Exactly. Because literally, all I had to do was say, I want to eat something, and he would jump and go get it. And that sort of thing. But now it's a bit more practical. Like, my friend, walk to the kitchen and go get your food. But no, you don't do that. No. But I'm just being honest. He's very helpful. Like, Oyo is almost too nice, and he's nice to even people externally. So I have to be the hard one sometimes, saying, guard your time. No, you can't talk to people this much. No, you can't help that person do this and that. So in terms of the love going cold, that's part of the issues. Was he was so busy trying to be father, husband, all these things, and the burden that we, I'm a talker. I'll tell him everything. I feel down. I'm sure I even burden him with some of my emotions. But he's very, he just keeps everything inside. And Ohio can be under emotional tension for 3 weeks and not know, because he's too busy helping everybody else, including me. He helps me a lot. And I think the times when our love group called is when he was just getting into a new job. And this is something that Reverend Song said at one of the retreats. He said, be careful about the turns, that there are specific turns in marriage. So when you start having children, that's a turn. It's not just you and your husband anymore. There are these other people who are probably taking more of my attention than I was giving to him. And then another turn is, oh, he's having issues at work and I don't understand those issues. Then maybe loved ones are sick or family members pass on. So many things we went through. And for us, I would say in our marriage, our biggest tests were financial tests. I don't think that we've ever been tested in terms of any external thing, family problems. Yeah. I'm sure our family members even think we pretend and we don't tell them about our issues. But I've never reported them to anybody because we never had issues that we couldn't deal with inside. But financial issues, oh my goodness. So the anger, the consistent fights about money, how we're spending, how we're saving, what we're doing, used to cause a lot of issues. So that's when I would have said the love was growing cold, when there were now children to take care of, so many things. It wasn't just, you know, you being in love, you know, kind of thing. But then what did we do to restore the love? I think importantly is that we talk.
That's right. You confronted the
Literally, that's what I would say has saved us a lot of things. And men, I guess it's hard for men to talk, but Ohio is one of those random people that you're just typing and he'll just come and tell you one deep thing in the middle of the afternoon. He did it, I think he did it last week or this week. You know, and he'll just tell you something really profound and he'll unburden himself at his own time. So just talking and having an open conversation where you're not lying to your husband, you tell them when you're not happy, you tell them when you're down. You share those real things, because I think what we do sometimes, guys find another guy who now becomes their confidant. The woman finds her mom or her somebody else that you're telling those deep things. Apart from the Holy Spirit, the first person you should be talking to should be your spouse, whether or not they understand you. Sometimes I tell him things and I think you didn't understand why I was so pained about our wedding and honeymoon until I'd explained to him how long I'd planned my wedding and how I was one of those girls who had fairy tale. And when the fairy tale was destroyed, I was in a lot of pain. You know, that this is not how I was supposed to be. And he understood me more, maybe 5 years down the line. So just that talking. So just that talking and treating each other well and having profound respect. So just like I said, when I'm calling him names at the beginning, we don't call each other names. My husband has never called me any names. I mean, I think he hissed one time or he didn't reply. So one thing that's very painful for me is when you don't, like I'm talking and then you just don't see anything, just looking forward.
You don't get the fire for fire back.
You know, he's very, very, so respect, there's respect in our marriage. So I think that's what kept during the low seasons, because there's low and high seasons. There are some seasons where I feel like he's the best man in the world. There's some other seasons where it's like, Lord, I can't, I'm just really not in the mood. But it's that respect, knowledge that God is there, and then you are talking yourself. So you don't become so distant that you don't know who this person is anymore, because you're always talking and you're always talking.
Yeah, I think for me, after that time, I've become more conscious to not just drift away like that again.
Mm.
Yeah, but I was scared. It really scared me. It really scared me.
Yeah. And I didn't know what was happening.
She didn't know.
I didn't know. Yeah. He was still functioning. He was still physically present, but he was still being husband, still going to work, still coming back, and all those things. But you know, just emotionally, just detached.
That's right.
I was emotionally detached. Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, and one strong thing, you know, a lot of us men, especially, have to learn. I will say this about your husband, Irina. You know, your husband is never too proud to ask for help. You know, to ask for help. That's the kind of relationship we have, which I don't take lightly. You know, we celebrate you too. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being here tonight. We could go on and on, but we are keeping it. And everyone who wants to get on, please next week, by the grace of God, Jesus tarries. Mm-hmm. We're coming back. By then, their marriage will be 9 years and one week old. Thank you for being so real. Somebody sent a prayer before. Thank you for that prayer. I saw the comment there. You know, I think, that's our grandma praying for you. God bless you both for being real, for being you in Jesus. Okay, may the good Lord bless you. That's JBG. I don't know who that is. Is that J or IBG? Thank you, Munus, for sharing so freely. Being a blessing. May your love grow. That's it. Deeper in every way in Jesus. Your love will not grow cold. It will grow hotter, hotter, deeper, deeper in understanding, in wisdom, in knowledge.
Amen.
Every way to the
Amen.
Glory of God. I celebrate you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being you. For those who we've counseled, those who we are counseling, they can bear witness that I have always spoken about Irene and O'Hill as two real human beings, very real, practical, down to earth. And that's when God can really help us, when we are real. You know, when we are real with God, God becomes real to us. Thank you for your time. Wow, time gone. And everyone, thank you. Celebrate the Omunus. God bless you.
It's good to see everyone in the chat.
Yeah. Wonderful children, lovely daughter, son you have there. So next week we will look at the part two. Maybe we'll call it from the cafeteria, United Kingdom. And I'm not sure if the media team. Okay, we will hand over back to the media team. God bless you both. God bless everyone. We pray for you. We continue to pray for you. Maybe the media team, I don't know if the song they're going to launch us off with tonight is First It Was Fragrance. Then It Turned to Fire.
I'll take anything apart from My Helper.
Oh, My Helper. Oh. All right. Thank you very much, Irene and Umu.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
See you same time next week. Over to the media team.